Welcome to Leadership Conversations with Josh Reich and Casey Cease. We have the conversations leaders want to have so they can win at leadership. Now, on to our show. Hey, everybody. This is Casey Cease with Leadership Conversations, and I'm joined by my fearless co-host, Josh Reich. Josh, how are you doing today, man?
Good, man. How's it going?
Oh, I'm feeling spunky today, man. I'm excited about the topic and about the leaders that are listening in, hoping to encourage them along the way. And today we're going to talk about the subject of clarity in leadership. We recently recorded episodes dealing with with various nuanced issues of this, leading through uncertainty, and with all these dynamics with COVID pandemic, we're being forced to realize the importance of clarity from the top down in leadership, even though a lot of the future is not business as usual or clear. And so, Josh, why don't you, you recently posted an article about this on your blog, but why don't you talk to us a little bit about clarity in leadership?
Yeah, well, I think right now, especially, but always in leadership, I mean, clarity is one of the greatest gifts a leader can give to their church, to their team, to their organization, to be able to say, this is what matters, this is what doesn't matter. Now churches are coming out and saying that they're not going to gather till at least 2021 in physical services. And so there's all this debate, is that right? Is that wrong? And for me, I just look at that and say, well, that's at least clear. You know, it's telling that church staff, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going to work on. We're not going to spend any time working on physical services. We're going to spend time working on these other areas of ministry. And so I think that can be a catalyzing thing, but it's also a scary thing. I mean, you know, when I watched Danny Stanley make that announcement, I'm sure that there was some trepidation that went into that where they were thinking, man, how is this going to go?
Yeah.
You know, what are we, you know, how are people going to respond? But in the midst of all that uncertainty, clarity is really galvanizing for a church and for a team. And so I think, and that's one of the things that separates leaders. You know, what makes somebody a leader is being able to say, we're going up that hill. That's where we're going. That's the direction we're going. And this is why we're going there. And so if you're a leader, this is why you're a leader, is to create clarity. And so it's just super important, especially now.
Absolutely. No, this is a timely conversation because my wife and I both have been in meetings where people have communicated one thing, then something else. And really, because they're dealing with issues that are polarizing issues, even down to issues of masks, where to wear them, where not to. And when the leaders actually took a more flimsy approach, it actually caused more pain for everybody than to just come out and say, this is our policy. Here's why we're doing it. And I think it's just as important in how we communicate our clarity as it is to have it. But so what are some processes? I mean, one thing I always value about you with how the Lord's wired you and gifted you is when you become clear, it's clear for you and you're able to sit in that clarity. What type of processes or questions would you be maybe internally thinking through as you're fighting towards clarity on an issue?
Yeah, well, I think one of the first things that a leader needs to do is have some white space to think and to pray and to process. Mm. One of the main reasons we lack clarity is because we don't create white space to think.
Yeah.
And so much clarity. I mean, this is why, you know, you go on vacation and you come back and you feel clear,
right?
You know, you go out of the office for a day and have a day of silence and things begin to become clear. And right. So, you know, it's creating that space. Do you have a spot? You know, for me, I love to drive up. Tucson is surrounded by mountains. And so I love to drive up the mountain and there's just something about the air up there that just, you know,
Or
lack thereof, you know, but like
minor suffocation really brings things to the surface, right?
Hey, you know what? It just shows how important it is. It's life and death. And, but having that space, I mean, we're so connected to email and social media notifications. We're running from one meeting to the next. And then we go at the end of the day, well, I just don't have clarity. Well, it's because you haven't pulled back to really detach. You know, a couple of questions that I think are important is, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? I think it's real easy to solve the wrong problem.
Yeah.
It's real easy to get stuck in the wrong thing. You know, that Andy Grove question that he asked at Intel, 30 plus years ago, when he said, if they fired all of us as the leaders and hired an entire new leadership team, what would those people do? And then why don't we just do that? And so that's a detachment question. You know, you're asking a question of detachment there, which can bring about a lot of great ideas. And so I think, I mean, there's so much more that can go into it, but I think those are some practices that leaders need to do. And you need to have somebody that you can process your fear with. Because as a leader, as you begin to have clarity about something, more than likely it's going to be taking you to a place that you've not been to before, or your church has not been to before. You're going to be taking a hill that somebody else hasn't taken yet, and there's going to be some fear there, and that's okay. But you need to have somebody that you can process that fear with, somebody that can help speak truth to it, that can help maybe even say, hey, that's crazy town. You know, you need a friend or a mentor or a counselor that can just say, that's bonkers. You know, and some of that. So, I mean, those would be some things that I have really put in place into my own life. You know, cause for me, when I start to, one of my dashboards to know that I'm running too fast or I don't have enough white space is if everyday decisions, like what do I want to eat right now? Or what do I want to watch on Netflix become really hard for me, then I know that I'm running too fast and don't have enough white space. And so that's been a practice that I've put into place for myself. So I don't, do you have anything else that you do or?
Well, I want to ask you a question. I think would be interesting just to hear your take on it. Is it better to be vaguely wrong or clearly wrong in leadership?
Like the Martin Luther, you know, sin boldly, like.
I think why are we unclear? Most leaders have pretty clear vision. And if I were to hold a gun to your head and you had to make a decision right now, what would you do? I'd do blank, right? The gut that thoughtful reaction. But I think one of the enemies of clarity is actually fear of being wrong. Right. Yep. And I think the invitation to clarity isn't as much, you know, is more of a, you have to lead, you will make mistakes, be prayerful, thoughtful, and then make the decision. Right. Because I think, I don't know, this may be just kind of my vanity as a three-wing-two, you know, achiever, caring person. Most great leaders didn't know the outcomes when they made the decisions. The leaders that we study, we're hearing historical accounts. Yep. Right. And we may hear how they got to that place. But I think so many people who are at least wired like myself are writing the press release of the outcome before it's written. And that's not really the goal of leadership. The goal of leadership, I think, is taking whatever information we can, seeking appropriate counsel, asking those tough questions, like you said, and then making a decision and then clearly communicating it with wisdom. And what I mean by wisdom is, who am I talking with? What is it that they're wanting? What is it they truly need? And even if they don't want to wear a mask or they don't want to give towards this thing or whatever, we have to answer the why.
Yeah.
Because what I found is, even if people grossly disagree with me, but I'm clear and certain on the why, and it's not just bat crazy, then they'll either follow or they'll find another leader to follow. But they, you know, they can grumble about it. Fine. I mean, I like when people are like, I don't really like that, but I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. I get it. And I mean, our wives could say that to us probably 100 times a month. I don't really like this, but I'm with you, right? I mean, it's like, okay, got it. So, man, I think you're spot on. Like, that's why I asked that question. I think more.
Well, I would want to be clearly wrong.
Yeah.
Than vaguely wrong, because if you're clearly wrong, then you at least know a way that doesn't work. You know, then you can at least evaluate. Cause I think one of the things that happens too often is we don't spend enough time. And this happens in ministry because it's really hard. It's vague, you know, spiritual growth is vague and it, you know, but we only have anecdotal data. We don't have actual data. We have, well, I feel like this many people came, you know? And so the more clarity, the more data you can have, the better.
That's right. Well, that's great. Well, I don't have anything else to say about that, Josh. Do you? I think you've been very clear. I appreciate your clarity on the topic of clarity, bro.
Well, I mean, it's super important. And it is clarity, a vision, clarity of where you're going is one of the things that separates the leader from the pack. It just does. It's why people follow people.
And you have to just get used to the fact that followers will critique and wannabe leaders will waste their energy trying to lash out you and what you're doing. The reality is, if you're truly leading, you're going to have more concern about the people that you're responsible to than those who might criticize you. And that's hard. I like people liking me, Josh. And so as a leader, that's been something, you know, I've had a just part of growing through that is sitting in. And I hate when my coach Jim said that, well, sometimes you just have to sit in that. I don't want to sit in it. I want to alleviate discomfort as quickly as possible and move on and have people tell me I'm right and good. But if I'm called and wired to be a leader, I've got to learn to make unpopular decisions and do the very best I can in faith and love and grace and hope to do the best I can as a leader, whether it's in pastoral or business or everything. I mean, I don't bifurcate between business and personal, Christian and business. It's like I follow Jesus, and that's going to impact how we lead no matter what our office is. And I think that's, and I think because the gospel is clear, it's divisive and polarizing, but the gospel is clear. And I think we have then an invitation from our Creator and Redeemer to model our leadership likewise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, friends, go ahead. No, Josh has something else to say. This is good. You get a little bonus round. Let's go.
There we go. And I would say too, I mean, right now as leaders are making decisions, you know, as it relates to school and their church, you know, one of the things that Christian leaders really just need to do a better job of is not throwing stones at the organizations and churches that are making decisions that they wouldn't make.
Yeah.
You know, if you disagree with, you know, what another pastor is doing, that's fine. But God didn't call you to lead their church. He called them. And you may disagree with it. And there's a good chance you maybe even have a verse about it, because that happens from time
to time. Several verses. I can verse anybody to death at this point.
You can take, there's lots of out of context verses you can take on a whole slew of subjects. But lead your church. You don't need to critique them. You don't need to critique how they're leading it. Just let that go.
Yeah.
That'd be my final word on that, is with all kinds of clarity. Let it go.
Yeah. And if you have all these verses, why don't you turn them on yourself and make sure that the Lord's doing his own surgery.
That feels like another episode.
Well, that's going to be another episode. This is going to be a run-on. This is a choose your own adventure episode. Let's just, well, I appreciate that clarity and that accountability, Josh. So friends, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Leadership Conversations. We'll be back next week with probably further ramblings on things dealing with leadership. Until then, God bless you and good night. Thank you for listening to another episode of Leadership Conversations with Josh Reich and Casey Cease. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, head on over to iTunes or Google Play to subscribe to our podcast. Also, head on over to our website at www.leaderconvos.com.